AC4 QLP monitoring.
AC4 QLP KC2WI.
QRZ the station calling. Just about got your call sign and someone disconnected the link here. This is KC4 QLP.
KC4 QLP KC2WI.
Yeah, I think you said your call was KC2WI, I think. Good evening. The name here is Bob.
Good evening, Bob. Name is Pete, Papa Echo, Tango Echo.
What happened to him, Pete? N5AOW.
I don't know. I am always a little suspicious of this radio, too. And it usually turns out to be okay, and it's some other problem, but it's an old, it's a Radio Shack HCX242. And not a real good antenna, but I don't know. I don't know what happened to him. Echo Link is like that, I guess. KC2WI.
No, Roger. No one running the net tonight, huh?
No, a station, Echo Link station from California came in. I don't remember if it was that guy or not. He said, is there going to be a net? It was about 8:45. I said, well, yeah, I'm busy. I can't talk to you, but yeah. The next thing I looked up, it was 8:45, and I guess nobody ran it, and I didn't realize that it got that late.
Yeah, I didn't either. I thought about attempting it to continue on for, you know, the evening, but I didn't know enough about it and the structure, so I held off. Then I missed the time anyway.
Yeah, there's nothing to it. You just call for, you know, check it. If you go to the website, the club website, there's a copy of the preamble that everybody uses up there, so you could, I mean, I read it off of that myself, or I'll, sometimes I wing it, but you know, usually if I actually sit down and do it on purpose, I have that printed out at the piece of paper for 4 or 5 years. Usually, you know, it really doesn't make any difference. All you have to do is, you know, you don't have to say any of that stuff. There's probably the same 5 people listening anyway. So, you know, just Black River Valley Service Net, and this is, you know, whatever your call sign, net control, and take check-ins usually. We do it on the Lewis County Roundtable. We do, emergency priority, and then mobile, and then echo links and all that, but you don't really have to do any of that.
Well, it sounds like it should be simple enough. It's just kind of keeping that format in mind when you do it. And 5AOW Friday.
Yeah, like I say, Boonvillearc.com website that Jeff put up, and he's got he copied the stuff from my old website that I had, and one of the things was the preamble. He transferred those documents over the net format, and there's a link to it somewhere.
That sounds simple enough. I think I'll do that and get everything laid out, and just in case if, you know, they need help or a fill-in or whatever, I can do it that way to help out.
Yeah, KC2WI, well, we try to get people to do that on the 8 o'clock, the Lewis County Roundtable, and that's actually part of a preamble that I wrote up, and basically we don't have any official assigned net controls. It's either Paul AB2QG or me or WX2PJR once in a while N2OIQ, but you know, basically, in the preamble, I say, you know, if you don't hear the net being called in a few minutes, you know, take the net control position and do it. So we're getting to that at Boonville. We used to have a pretty good schedule, but we've lost people for various reasons, either silent keys or moved or whatever, and so we don't have a nice schedule anymore with somebody assigned for every night. And I know Jeff's been doing most of the time. Sometimes if he doesn't get to it, and I think about it, I do it. But a lot of times I'll think about it, but then I'm working away at something, and the next thing I know, it's 9:30, so I don't do it.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Pete. Yeah, I was looking at some of the call signs from a few years back, and boy, there's quite a few you don't hear anymore, and kind of surprised me. And I thought, well, like you mentioned, silent key, but could be a lot of them moved away too. You never know. But yeah, unfortunately, you don't have the group, you know. To I noticed that with the check-ins, a lot of times there's only four or five. A lot of times even less than that. So, but it's good to continue it and keep it going. And it's always nice that. Kind of opens up a little window of opportunity and communication.
Yeah, well, we need to, you know, we haven't had much success, but we need to get some new people, whether they're new old people or new young people. But really, somehow, we have to get some more people, some more hands, and more people interested, get your license, whatever. And it's a difficult thing to do. I don't know what the reason is. I mean, you know, there's people out there that are interested in tinkering with stuff, you know, techie stuff, electronics, whatever. They just don't see this as, I'm not sure what they don't see it as. Maybe some don't realize, I don't know. It's hard to say people don't want to talk. You walk around a grocery store, 10 people with a cell phone up to their ear, and you get on Facebook, and everybody's friends with 10,000 people that they never met. So why is the ham radio so odd, you know?
I know exactly what you mean. You know, I was listening. Well, I get on 40 meters a lot and 75 in the evening sometimes, but... You know, I hear some of the hams talking. You know, there's always 2 meter. I don't want to get involved in 2 meter and whatever. But you know, 2 meter is a part of ham radio, and it's always something for local communication that works out really nice. You know, back when I got my call in mid late 70s, somewhere around there, and. That was back in San Antonio when we lived down there. Sort of let go of that for a minute. But I got involved in that. And that's back when, you know, before cell phones were popular, and we were doing, going into the net with the, I can't think of making a brain tumor here momentarily. That's what happens when you get old. But anyway, to make a call, a patch, the auto patch, and that made a nice line of communication between home and the guys traveling back and forth and work and whatever. But it was involved, and I can see the need for it, like you're talking about here, and 5AOW Friday.
WI. Well, I'm going to make an argument that it's unfortunate. You know, back in the 80s when I got licensed, we had, you know, auto patches were pretty common on repeaters. Of course, very few people had mobile phones back then. And then, of course, the cell phone kind of became an affordable item. And so you didn't really need an auto patch to phone home and say you were going to be late or whatever. So theoretically, you didn't need it for safety, whatever. However, that's fine if you're in downtown Syracuse. But, you know, if you're on Route 8 between, let's say, the Hinkley Reservoir or 365, wherever that is, and maybe about Lake Pleasant around the court, well, maybe, you know, Oxbow Lake, you ain't calling anybody on a cell phone because there's no cell service. Or if you're out in the woods somewhere, maybe up on a, you know, a place not necessarily in the deepest valley, you're not going to call anybody on the cell phone, but you could get into one of the repeaters on 2 meters. The problem is nobody's listening anymore. You know, back in the 80s, you didn't really need the auto patch because usually within pretty short few calls, you would get somebody. So, and my perspective of this is I'm out snowmobiling somewhere, let's say. Well, like I say, I'm just driving up Route 8 in Morehouse somewhere. I could call till the batteries go dead on the radio, and I might be lucky to hear somebody on the repeater. If I'm up towards Speculator, where, you know, I'm in a spot where that's the only repeater I can hit, there's not that many people. So really, I've been trying to figure out how to do this since we moved the repeater back up on Oak Mountain. How do we get an auto patch on that thing? We don't have a phone line up there. But, you know, I want to be able to pick up the radio, and if nobody answers me on the repeater, I want to dial my folks or the sheriff's office or something and say, hey, you know, I got a problem. Or one of my friends that I think is probably home up there or something like that. And it's unfortunate, but the auto patches are no longer popular, and it's almost like we need them more than we used to.
KP2K, okay.
Pick it up, Jack. Mark.
Yeah, I didn't mean to break into your conversation. I was just wondering if I could do a call up here for Octon.
Absolutely.
Okay, the repeaters, not a lot of people out, but I know what you mean on the oil patch deal. They're not popular. Okay, anyway, it's enough. I won't take too long. This is KB2K here for the United County Traffic and Emergency Net. Octon currently being held on a 145.17. Any stations for Octon with or without traffic stations, come down, please.
And 5AOW, no traffic, Mark.
5AOW, Bob, thank you for checking on. Any other stations for Octon?
KC2WI.
And KC2WI, Pete, thank you for checking in. Hope I'm not doubling with somebody. Anybody else? This is KB2KOJ for Octon. United County Traffic and Emergency. Not any other stations wishing to sign in with or without traffic?
This is November 2, Whiskey Bravo X-ray. Good evening, no traffic.
And 2WBX, Dennis, thank you for checking in. Anyone else? Okay, final call for that time. I don't want to tie up the frequency. We have Pete and Bob and all you folks there. So, final call for that time. Okay, I want to thank everyone for checking in this evening. Do appreciate it. Check-ins here are very much, we're always very much appreciated. And I'll say 7-3 to all of Pete and you folks, thanks for letting me jump in. I'll turn it back to you, Pete. Thanks for the use of the repeater and catch you tomorrow night. KB2KOJ, correct?
KB2KOJ and 5AOW. All right, Mark, we'll catch you again tomorrow evening. KC2WI and 5AOW.
KC2WI. Well, this guy called me yesterday. I think it was yesterday, and I returned his call. And he was checking on his computer that he brought Friday, and I told him I was going to be tied up on the weekend and whatever. And he didn't really express extreme urgency of the thing. And Monday I took off here. I decided it was now. It could be now or never, so it's going to be now. And I snowmobiled from here over to Lake Pleasant and went to the Hamilton County Amateur Radio Club meeting Monday night and went into town, the Speculator, on Tuesday to a meeting at the Chamber of Commerce for a geocaching event we're going to do in March. And this morning I snowmobiled back here. But anyway, yesterday when I checked, I guess it was yesterday, my phone, he had called and I said, well, this is what I've done so far, but I'm out of town for a couple of days. He says, oh, I'm leaving. I'm going to, I think he said, Washington for a month. You know, I'm going to be there for a month. I want to take the computer. I said, well, all I can tell you is when I get back, I didn't tell him that I was had to ride back on a snowmobile, but I just said, I'm out of town for a couple of days. All I can tell you is, you know, I'll do the best I can when I get back there. So he called me, or I called him, or whatever, this afternoon, and I said, I'm working on it. This is what we should do. He says, okay, call me as soon as you can, because I thought he was saying he wanted to leave, like, tonight. I don't know, and I don't believe he left without it, but I got his voicemail, so I don't know what's going on. I think he'd call back if he's in that much of a hurry. I hate it when people do that. I try not to ever do that to anybody when I'm the customer. You know, I like to call back when I say I'm going to, or if I call inquiring about something and then I find it somewhere else, especially if it's a, you know, an individual, I like to call them back and say, well, thanks, but, you know, I got it done. And people don't do that to me. I've had many times where they're going to call me back. They never call me back. I wait a few days because they were going to call me back. Finally, I call them back, and they say, oh, never mind. And occasionally, they're going to show up in the morning, and they never show up, and, you know, I'm sitting there changing my plans. That's not very nice. Anyway, so the guy's thing is done here, so I guess I must have timed it out. Anyway, I was saying I'm going to give this guy another call. It's a cell phone. So my theory on cell phones is you can call later, you can call early, because people can turn a cell phone off. They don't want to hear it. And if they leave it on, must be they want to be called, I guess. I don't know. That's my theory on the cell phone. It's, you know, I wouldn't call too late on a regular phone unless I know a person. But cells, I might be more inclined to do that, because if they leave them on, they must be they want people to call and want to be able to receive calls. Anyway, I don't know what you missed on that, but anyway, it'd be nice to get an. I'd love to have an auto patch on Boonville repeater, the Lowellville repeater, and definitely the one up at Speculator. And here we could, or Lowellville, we used to have one, and we. The problem is repeater controllers are not made with auto patches anymore. They do that because they don't have to get FCC approval, you know, because they're not interfacing with the public telephone system. So it's one less thing they got to worry about.
Yeah, Roger on that. I know what you mean there. But like you said, you know, that would really be advantageous, I think, in this area, because there again, you know, the cell phones are limited in different areas where you just can't get signal, you can't get into a cell tower and so on. But if you had 2 meter, you certainly can, and the rigs that you have today, well, like this one of mine is on high power 60. You know, you can belt your way into a repeater somewhere. And with everything linked together, is a good possibility you can get help, get the call made, or do whatever you need to. But I find, you know, less and less that, well, even some of them, my old 2 meter rig has no tone board in it. And if you don't have that, you're not going to get into the repeater anyway. But really, you know, if it's something they want to do, I'd like to get involved in that. You know, maybe we can get a group of us together and do something constructive with that, and possibly put it into motion where, you know, it could help in a lot of situations.
Well, like I said, in Black River Valley Club, Loudover, Peter, there is a phone line up there, you know, the county. And what we had in the old days is we had an auto patch where you could only dial a local number. And the way it worked was that we had some access code. And then you would do like star one or one star, whatever, two star three. And you had a cheat sheet, and one star was 376, and two star was 348, and so on. So basically, the repeater dialed the first three digits, and you dialed the last four, and that's all. So you only dial a local number, and that prevented any long distance calls from going out on the county's phone line. In Boonville, there's no phone line up there, and we wouldn't want to spend the money on one. And the same thing in the Hamilton County repeater, they're up on Oak Mountain. We don't have a phone line. We think that there might be a line or, you know, whatever, but really there's no active phone line. So it's kind of tough, but my thought of trying to do this, it's one of those things that would be great to do, but a time-consuming thing to work out, is, you know, what you could do is if you could get a line of sight from the top of the hill to somebody's house who has a good internet connection, then you could use any one of the various voice over IP telephone things. I mean, for example, the Magic Jack, let's say, or Skype, or Vonage, or, you know, there's just all kinds of stuff. But theoretically, you could have it. You could have a wireless. Call it a wireless bridge between somebody who can see the tower, somebody whose house can see the tower, you know, and you put high gain directional antennas on there, and you can get a pretty good distance, not 10 miles, but you could get a mile or two, and at basically wireless bridge. So you have at the repeater shack end, you've got an Ethernet connection that's essentially connected to your network, part of your network at home, and you plug in your voice device, and that device, you know, on one side of it is an RJ45 jack, and the other side of it is an RJ11, and you plug your good old-fashioned telephone into it. So instead of plugging the good old-fashioned telephone into it, you plug the auto patch in. Auto patch doesn't know the difference. It looks like a phone line, just like a telephone, and that's the way you could do it. In concept, it seems pretty simple. But then the other problem is you have to have the auto patch, which is no longer built into repeater controllers. So you got it. That's an add-on on the auto patch. If you had a repeater
KC2WY with N5ALW. I agree. You know, you were thinking along the same lines I was, you know, where you could interlink with the computer somehow, but there again, you needed, like you say, the line of sight. And that possibly could work. That could set up a nice interim setup until something later on came about where you had a hard line to it.
I don't think you'd need the hard line. I really don't. As long as you could get that, you know, we're hams and we're supposed to know how to tinker with this stuff. And, you know, guys do this 802.11 if you read some of the, you know, oh, I don't know what they call it, the conferences, they have IT stuff, you know. I remember reading, it's been a few years, but they had these contests. It was, you know, I think in Las Vegas or someplace, big, you know, big thing there. And they had they called it Shoot Out in the Desert, and who could get the farthest, you know, and people make these real, you know, high-gain antennas. You know, the one you hear about is the Pringles can antenna, but you just make a real high-gain, you know, 2.4 gigahertz antenna on both ends, and you line it up accurately, and they were saying that they were getting, you know, 10 miles on a without, you know, really exotic, high power, you know, stuff, just sort of crafty stuff. And you can buy wireless bridges that claim to have a kilometer, a couple, 3, 4, 5, 10 kilometer range. I don't know. I've never done one that far. I've only done it with a somewhat high power directional. I've actually not done a bridge. I actually just did it as an access point from, you know, across the parking lot too far for just a regular router. But the same device, you put it in bridge mode, and you have one at each end, and it basically just takes the place of a long piece of wire.
Absolutely, and I think you're on the right track with that. You know, you talked about the high-gain antenna. Ironically, I had, in fact, High Gain made it. They made a lot of 11 meter stuff too, but I had a 2 meter High Gain antenna. I think, if I remember right, it was 18 elements. It had, was either 14.8 or 17.8 dB gain. And I used to talk from San Antonio to Llano, which I think was probably about 70 or 80 miles on 146.52 direct. And all I had for 2 meter at that time was my Yaesu mobile with power supply, and that put out 10 watts. Here we have sets like this one, 60, and we have 65 and 70, without, got all kinds of power. They should exceed far, you know, much further than what mine did years ago.
Right. Yeah. Well, I've talked, I don't know what the distance was with an HT, but, you know, into a repeater like 100 miles away. I was over in Vermont years ago when I used to cross or downhill ski, and I was in a ski club and so on. We used to go over there, but I was over there once, late winter, I think it was, at Onondaga Ski Club had a lodge. I guess they still have a lodge. And I was never in that club, but I was in one of the other clubs, and, you know, we used it once in a while. And I went over there late season and skied at, what's the place over there, Sugarbush, I think. And then I went the next day or whatever on the way home. I went over the notch. I can't remember what road, but anyway, you go from the Route 100 Valley up, and there's a trail. Well, there's a trail all through there, but this was, I think, to the Red Loaf Wilderness or something. I had my handheld, and it was this was probably in the late 80s, I would think. So I don't think, I would suspect it wasn't quite a 5-watt handheld, but I had a half-wave antenna. And I was able to get into the speculator repeater. And that's, you know, that's from Vermont, across the Champlain Valley, and across half of the Adirondacks to the middle of Hamilton County. And I was able to get into that repeater. I don't know. I think I looked the distance up on the map later, but I can't remember what it was. But it was a, I mean, you know, and that's with a handheld. So, but it was, luckily there was no real big mountain right in the way. You know, when I was up high, and the repeater, well, it's not that high, it's on Oak. It was on Oak Mountain then, and then it got moved, and it's back there now. And now it's a brand new repeater, so, you know, it's much, and we got commercial duplexes.